So welcome back to Airtime, the official podcast of the Olympic Styles of USA Wrestling Kansas. Nobody can deny that things are happening on the wrestling scene in the state of Georgia. Our guest today, Joey Laser, hails from Georgia, but now has his feet firmly planted on Kansas soil and is in the business of helping Kansas raise its profile on the national level. The University of Northern Iowa grad finished as an All-American in 2014 to cap off an outstanding career for the Panthers. After helping coach with the Panther Wrestling Club and continuing his competitive career and substitute teaching in the Cedar Falls-Waterloo area, he has settled into the Sunflower State, where he'll be continuing to teach at Holy Name Catholic School and coaching at Mill Valley High School, where he will be serving as the associate head coach under longtime head man Travis Keel. Coach Laser joins us on the line today. Coach, welcome to Airtime.
Thanks for having me, sir.
All right, it's always interesting to hear the origin stories of high-level competitors and coaches. Let us know how you got your start in the sport.
My dad kind of let me go into every sport that I wanted to go try. He wrestled for a couple years in high school up in Pennsylvania, and he got me introduced into the sport, and I was a knucklehead that liked to play games and be different. And wrestling is awesome because you can be any shape, any size, any personality, and it can be for you. So it's what I fell in love with, is that I can be me no matter how I wrestle.
All right. So you had a terrific high school career at Union Grove High School in McDonough, Georgia, then headed to the University of Northern Iowa in the heart of the Cedar Valley, one of the hotbeds of wrestling in America. What sold you on making the move to Iowa?
I visited a couple other colleges and they were just too big for me. I'm a small town person. I'm not in Atlanta, a little bit away from Atlanta. And when I went to Northern Iowa, it wasn't too big of a campus. It wasn't too small of a campus. The athletes up there were real friendly, and, you know, everyone says it's like a family environment, but like when I went up there, I knew I needed to find a family environment because that's who I am. And I was going to be about 15 hours away from my family in Georgia. So that kind of sold it for me. It wasn't too big, wasn't too small, kind of just right for myself.
And I'm just curious, how did the recruiting process go? I imagine Coach Roper was in on finding you, but I mean, did you know about you and I coming through high school, and just how did it get on your radar?
So I was actually there before Coach Roper and Coach Schwab. So I've been there longer than both of the current coaches at the University of Northern Iowa. I was recruited by Brad Penrith. He kind of called my coach and contacted me, and we got in touch, and I went up to that program. And a lot of the wrestlers, Brett Robbins is on staff right now. He was wrestling for the university at that time. Cruz Aris is the strength coach currently. He was a wrestler whenever I was coming up. And those two guys I can't say enough about those guys, about how much they love the sport and how much they love helping other people. And I could kind of just tell when I went up there that they were good people.
West Gym is one of the most iconic wrestling arenas in all of college wrestling. And Coach Schwab and company have seemingly elevated the status even further. So a modern facility with natural lighting and climate control, the McLeod Center, is attached to the Unidome, and I'm sure it's available for use. But what is it about West Gym that makes it such a good fit for the sport of wrestling?
It can get loud, hot, and rowdy. The fans are right on top of the mat. The energy is through the roof. It might not be able to hold as many people as the McLeod Center, but until you can get that same feel and environment in the McLeod Center, I wouldn't want to move over there. I know we had a duel over there when I was in college, and to me it felt like an away meet. It wasn't the same kind of environment. It wasn't our normal locker rooms. It wasn't our warm-up mats. When you're in college, you want to be on that same routine and same patterns to keep being consistent. And the West Gym is undoubtedly one of the best places I've ever wrestled at in the college.
So give us a few of your favorite West Gym moments from your time at UNI.
I mean, one always comes to mind. We were wrestling Iowa State. My freshman year, I think we lost to them by a point. My sophomore year, we lost to them by a couple points. And then my senior year, we were wrestling them, and we had a very solid team. My senior year, we were undefeated in duels, and I was wrestling Gabe Moreno. And second period started, he went down, and I hit him with one of my moves called a splaydle. and I got up and the crowd erupted. I went crazy. I was super energized and just the excitement you get from being in that building, the fans being so loud. They really make West Gym West Gym. So anytime I had one of those moments, another one would have probably been against Missouri. I was losing by 2 points with like 5 seconds left, ended up getting a reversal and then a takedown in overtime. And it's just, I think I did it because of the fans and the energy they were bringing, and the magic that happens in there is pretty awesome.
Wow, thanks for sharing. Those are two special memories for sure. So take us back to the 2014 NCAA Championships in Oklahoma City. The Panthers finished in the top 10 with three All-Americans. Dylan Peters was sixth at 125, Joe Colan finished third at 133, and you came out of the 11th seed and placed sixth. Let's start with your practice room battles and how they manifest themselves into All-American finishes for the first three weight classes in a row. And I also want to throw Coach Schwab in there because I'm sure he was part of your practice room development as well. Just how competitive was it for you in that room, and how special was that 2014 NCAA tournament for you and the team?
It was awesome. Me, Dylan Peters, Joe Colon, we had a lot of guys behind us that really helped and pushed us. Jake Hodges, Doug Cruz, B Rob. We had a lot of depth in those lower weights that were pushing us nonstop every day. Some of my favorite things that me and Joe would do is we'd just go into the room and get in positions and just play wrestle and figure out maneuvers or different ways and kind of play chess with wrestling. And it was a lot of fun for us to do that. Jake Hodges would just come in and get beat down on, but that dude just kept coming and helping us because like we'd take him down and turn him and ride him, and he just kept getting up and kept making us have to do more than what we wanted to do. B-Rob just put the beat down on us sometimes, and sometimes we got the best of him. And then Doug, when Doug wanted to go Doug mode, you got the wrath of Doug. Our lightweight status that year was awesome. We had, like I said, a lot of depth to push each other in the rooms and talk to each other, and we all hung out with each other playing Super Smash Bros. And doing some things outside of the room other than just wrestling.
So speaking of Coach Schwab, it looks like you had a chance to connect with him recently when Coach Fitz brought him down for a clinic out in Olathe South. What is it like to touch base with him now that you are an adult on your own and not the impressionable young college athlete?
It's awesome. He's like a father figure to me. Like I said, my family was about 15 hours away in Georgia. So when I had problems or had things going on in life, I knew I could talk to him or his wife, Allison. They're just great lifelines for wrestlers, family far away. They helped me with lots and lots of things. And yeah, it was awesome getting to talk with Doug. And I was still picking his brain and asking him questions. And then some of the kids that I'd show wrestling to up at the Kansas City Training Center. Doug was going over some of the stuff I do, and they'd look over at me like, I'm like, yeah, that's who I learned it from. Like he does it the same way I do it. Like that's who I'm learning these systems from. And then today I'll get to go hang out with Coach Roper after lunch. So I'm excited to go talk to him and hang out with him as well.
So Coach Schwab is certainly one of my top five favorite coaches. He seems knowledgeable, personable, and carries a work ethic second to none. And I can imagine alums of other programs maybe like going fishing or around a golf with their former college coach. With Coach Schwab, I can imagine you guys catching up with him while doing a torture session in one of his mind-numbing sauna sessions. Have you gone through one of those?
Oh yeah, those are so much fun. They're a blast. I mean, it's more just to see how far you can push yourself. Wrestling is one of those sports that you can't really simulate by doing other things. Wrestling is a simulation of getting your body to that exhaustion point and then pushing through it. So you have to kind of come up with some crazy workouts to push your body to its limits and then go a little bit more than what you want to do. And yeah, some of those crazy workouts that we did really pushed yourself, but it showed you and your body that it can do more than what it thinks it can. So I'm very thankful for all the crazy, dumb workouts that we did with Coach Schwab.
Yeah, and I'm sure it leaves an impression on you. And then his rope climbing to Mount Everest, that was also a
Oh, Mount
classic
Everest.
that I really enjoyed following. So you qualified for the 2013 NCAA Championships as a junior, and you had a good season and a good NCAA tournament that ended up with a loss in the blood round. During your senior season, you won a razor-thin 1-0 match in the blood round and then ended up in sixth place. From your point of view, you'll forever be recognized as an All-American. You're now closing in on about a decade since that 2013-14 season. With that perspective, what does your All-American title mean to you now?
I mean, it's nice. It's an award, but it doesn't define the person I am or the lessons I learned through wrestling. It just sits in my basement. I don't really show it off. I don't really talk about it. It's kind of one of those things that it's a mountaintop. Coach Schwab talked about it, like wrestling is full of mountains. You're gonna climb a mountain, you're gonna see the top, and then you know what you gotta do. You gotta go back down a mountain and climb another mountain. It doesn't take anything away from it. Doesn't mean not grateful for it, but the next day is going to come no matter what after the national tournament, and what you're doing that next day will kind of define what you're going to do. You know, every day you got to do something to get better. No matter what you've done the day before, you got to do something better than what you did the day before or that. That's what
Wow,
kind of wrestling teaches you.
good perspective there. Good reflection. So you hail from the state of Georgia. In wrestling circles, that state has gone really from doormat to national contender in only a decade or two. You were in the thick of the era of kind of the rise of Georgia wrestling. What were the factors in that time period of about the early to mid 2000s that have led to where the state is now?
So there's a guy called Arturo Holmes. He was probably one of the first club coaches that came out of the state, and he got some of the best Georgia wrestlers together on weekends. And nowadays clubs wrestle, you know, 3-4 times a week. Back whenever I was growing up, it was like on Sundays, I was driving 2 hours to practice. I'd go practice for 2 hours with some of the top elite wrestlers in the state of Georgia, and then I'd drive home 2 hours. So I'd be in the car more than I'd be on the mat. But getting around all the top elite wrestlers, we kind of pushed each other. And then other places, other clubs started opening up. I know Compound has a huge impact on how great Georgia's been. They were another place I always go back to. Every time I go back to Georgia, I always try and go back and give back and do what I can. Seeing a lot more with that state now. I know Ryan Milhoff, he was a national, oh, he's an All-American, I want to say one or two times, but he wrestled at Oklahoma, then he went down to Arizona State, and now he's back coaching at a high school that he grew up and won 3 state titles at, and he's giving back. So having your elite wrestlers go off to college, do great things, and then come back and give back, that's probably why Georgia is starting to do what they're doing. I know whenever I was in Georgia and we were going to national tournaments, you know, people would be like, "Oh, Georgia kid, yes, warm-up match." And then now it's like, "Oh crap, Georgia guy, they're gonna scrap." So seeing that transition and being proud of that, it's awesome to think about. But yeah, I would say Arturo Holmes kind of started the whole trend of getting a club together and growing the sport as a state.
So going into the 2021 NCAA championships, the state of Georgia was tied with Nevada and Japan, of all things, with 20 all-time NCAA Division I All-Americans. Daniel Bullard of North Carolina State made it number 21 for the Peach State when he finished in seventh place for the Wolfpack at 174. I'm going to give you my top four all-time Georgia wrestlers in ranked order. Give me your thoughts on my list. So I'd go number one, Sean Haig, two, Charlie Hurd, three, Taylor Lujan, and fourth, Sean Russell.
Lujan is an animal. I love Lou. I feel bad for Lou. You know, I was up there with him whenever the thing happened, all the craziness happened. And now he's doing great things. I mean, he won the 79-kilo senior nationals. So he's doing awesome things. Sean Haig is just he's just a legend. You know, he's one of the Georgia's greatest. And then yeah, Sean Russell is he's a beast. I mean, he just moved down to UTC to help out down there. He was up in Minnesota, wrestled Edinburgh. the dude's been all over, been coached by a lot of people, and he's got a lot of perspective on wrestling. So, I mean, if I could get around that dude too some more, I'd be pretty grateful for that.
Yeah, and you probably maybe don't know a whole lot about Charlie Hurd. He was, a big neighbor when I was my impressionable youth days of middle school or around that time. But anyway, would that be similar to your list, or who would you put in your top three or four?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sean Hague would definitely be one of the top guys. What's his name? Whit Durden. Pretty sure he's a Georgia boy. He got second at Nationals. Just one of the fastest dudes ever come out of the state. I remember watching him. Peter Yates, I grew up watching that guy whenever he was wrestling. He went to Virginia Tech, and he ended up being an All-American up there. And then, yeah, definitely Lou. Lou would have done some damage at Nationals if he got his chance his senior year, so I feel bad. He won't get that recognition of being an All-American because his senior year, Nationals got canceled, and he lost his last chance after, I think he was blood around the year before that, and then he was coming into the national tournament as number one seed. So, you got to give that dude that respect that he's earned.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I would say he was one of my, you know, two or three that I really felt the worst for, because I felt that he was certainly in position to possibly win that title. So I definitely agree with that. So you have jumped into the Kansas wrestling scene with both feet and will be serving as part of the coaching staff for Team Kansas in Fargo. What do you have to offer the team, and what do you get out of the experience?
I just want to grow the sport, man. That's why I'm here. I want to do what I can to give back to a sport that's given me so much. I know that I've got some different ways of teaching stuff and techniques and thoughts, and, you know, been around other states on what they're doing, heard about what they do at some Fargo camps, and they actually asked for my opinion on some stuff, and I think we're going to make some changes down here that hopefully are for the better, that, you know, you might not get results the first couple years, but over time, you know, if you're consistent, anything can be possible. So it's all about being consistent with your athletes as coaches, trying to get these kids better any way they can. So hopefully I can bring in some perspective for how to get kids better, how to train these kids, how to peak these kids for, you know, for them, the toughest tournament some of them are going to go wrestle in, and get these guys ready for that next level.
So you've spent a lot of time this spring and summer watching, evaluating, and coaching up many of the athletes that will represent Team Kansas in Fargo. What are your expectations, and who do you expect to make a run in the Fargo Dome?
I expect everyone to go do some damage. The best part about wrestling is every match starts 0-0. You just got to start believing in yourself, giving yourself that belief that you are going to do something out there. I know I've gotten a lot closer with some of these Mill Valley boys, the Aquinas boys. I mean, Luke Hancock, him and his brother Joe, have been in every day since March. We started this Kansas City Training Center, and those guys are in there putting in that work. So, you know, Luke, I expect Luke to go up there and get a stop sign, freestyle and Greco. Maddox Casella went and wrestled the cadet dual team, and then now he went and wrestled the junior dual team, and now he's getting ready for Fargo. I mean, he's only going to be a sophomore next year, but the dude's going to do some damage. I'm excited to watch a lot of these kids go out and wrestle. I got to meet some of the Wichita boys when they came up for our little mini camp we had last week. Me and Treaster got to roll around. He's a funny dude. We had some fun. And then me and Big Bash, Sebastian, wrestled a couple of times. But that dude is a big human being. So when he wanted to put some weight on me, he could. But I'm starting to getting some relationships built with these guys, and it's fun to grow and try and help these boys and soon-to-be men any way I can. I know Jared hasn't been at these training camps. He's been up training with Parker Kirkison and Taylor Lujan and Drew Foster. But Jared will be back for Fargo. And I, you know, me and him have a deal. If he wins Fargo, I got to get a mullet. So we'll see if he can do his end of the deal, and I'll do mine. Okay. And my wife says I can keep it until school starts. So.
Okay. So before we sign off, shortly after Fargo's last whistle blows, things will be firing up in Tokyo. What are your thoughts for Team USA at the Olympics?
I'm excited, man. This is going to be a great opportunity. I think we got a pretty solid squad heading over to Tokyo. Gilman at 57. I mean, that dude's always been dangerous. He's adapted. He went to Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, and I think that those guys are amazing at game planning for who they're going to wrestle. Casey Cunningham does a great job over there with getting his guys prepared for anyone that they're going to scrap with. Gilman there, unfortunately, Oliver didn't get to go up 65 unless some craziness happens. But 65 will be open. 74 will be Dake. It's gonna be interesting to see his styles wrestle with, Chimizo, who he's wrestled, and then Sadikov from Russia, who's just, he's good. He's really good at wrestling. But Dake's defense is second to none, one of the best in the world. So we'll see if those guys can score on Dake, and Dake can take advantage of being explosive and just freak athlete. And then you got Taylor, who just, he's on a war path when he wrestles. He never stops wrestling. He's always looking to score points and always trying to widen the gap no matter what's going on in the match. Hopefully the Russians don't try and knock him out again. And then you got Snyder at 97. I mean, I wish I'd have seen the Cox-Snyder match, but, things happen, life happens, and Cox is making the most of his opportunity, and now Snyder's going to go try and knock off the Russian tank. And then at heavyweight, you got Gable, and Gable is insanely good at wrestling. We'll see how he's going to do against, some of the best heavyweights that have ever been around. I mean, you got Taka Ghul, and then Petra Vili from Georgia. I mean, those dudes have been battling one and two, I want to say, for the last century, Every time you think of heavyweights, that's who you think of. I'm excited to see how we do and how we fare against everyone else in the world. I think we're going to do some damage, and hopefully we can get us one of them team titles.
Yeah, it should be fun. And I, the news this morning, they're locking things down even further in Japan. No, so hopefully it'll happen. Yeah, no kidding. So
yeah.
Well, we've been visiting with Joey Lazor, part of Team Fargo staff for Kansas. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us today. All the best to you and the guys in their quest to bring home a stop sign or two.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for having me on.
All right, that's all for this episode of Airtime. Until next time, thanks for listening.